Welcome to the Manifest Telecast. I have a question for you. Have you ever, at some point, maybe you got out of bed or in midday or toward the end of the day, something came upon you that you could not explain, but it was what some people term a gut feeling or a premonition that something was not right? It's almost as though you sense that there's danger out there, but you can't put your finger on what is the danger? Who is it about? Where is it coming from? And when will it happen? I'm going to teach on I can feel it. Something is not right. And I'd like to begin with something that's very, very strange that has happened to me, and I cannot explain it. I did not ask the Lord to do this for me. I did not ask Him to let this happen. But some of our best friends, some of Pam and myself, and also my present staff's favorite people were Larry Bean and Gina Bean, who now pastor a great church in Mississippi. Gina was my personal assistant for 15 years. They were wonderful people of faith and integrity and singers. And honestly, from time to time, I just really miss having them around. But Gina remembers this, and she was always the person that I would first tell this to, or she could see it come up on me, and she would say, okay, what are you sensing? Because she could see it in me because I was very different at that time. I wasn't talking. I wasn't saying much. I would have a sudden internal weight that you would call a burden that would come upon me. It was very different from a burden for souls or a burden to preach or a burden to get a word from God. This was an impending feeling of danger. And it would overwhelm me to the point that I would have to leave the office and go home. I would actually lay down and pray or sit in a chair and pray. And sometimes, I'm telling you, this went on for hours, or sometimes it would go on for 2 or 3 days. What this was, I found out over the years, was the feeling of someone's impending death. When this would happen, I couldn't work, I couldn't study, I couldn't go out and eat. I would tell the family, you guys go, I can't go. When the burden hit, it would be one time it was 10 days, but it would be about 7 days on average, when someone who was a close friend, a family member, or someone that we knew quite well had passed away. Now, I tried to time this, and I figured that about 20 times in the past 18 years, this burden would hit me, but it was always someone that I knew. Now, sometimes I would get a person in my mind and think, well, this feels like it's them, but they're not even sick, and they would pass away. And I really believe there were times that what God was doing was He was preparing my spirit for what was about to happen. I know I grieved for my granddad and my dad, my mom, before they ever passed away. I think it was the year 2018. I want to tell this quick story, but in 2018, I believe it was, we were going to Israel. About a month before we went to Israel, there was a couple on staff, a couple being a husband and wife, and I had this burden hit me that someone in their family would die while we were in Israel. Now, you talk about something difficult to talk about. It's when you have that burden, you know what it's about, but you know who it involves. It involves his family. And, you know, you don't want to make people fearful or question who is it and whatever. And I said, make plans to come home, take out trip cancellation in church because it will happen in Israel. Well, we were in the middle of the Israel trip, or somewhere in the middle of it, I guess it was. I remember vaguely when it was, but I can tell you what happened. They got word that a family member had passed away suddenly, and then they had to determine, do they stay for the next couple of days and go home with the group, or do they go ahead and try to make plans to leave? And I remember it was shocking because it happened exactly the way that I felt it. Now, that is called by some the sixth sense, but I'll tell you a little bit more about that and how it can relate to your life in just a moment. Now, animals, this is very, very interesting. Animals can have this sixth sense. And one of the animals, there's two animals that are very known for this. One is a dog, but the other that has one of the greatest sixth sense is a cat. You know, there have been cats that have been left maybe on a vacation. They didn't know where they were. They went home. And a cat would travel hundreds of miles and find its way back to its house. They don't even know for sure how it happens, but they have this amazing sense. Now, I believe at times that it's possible for animals to sense demonic spirits in a home, and I also believe it's possible for them to sense the angels of God. There was a cat by the name of Oscar, and you can read about Oscar later on, but Oscar was in a Rhode Island nursing home, and he had a very unusual sense. When someone was going to die, and he knew they were going to die, he could sense it, and he would go and lay on the bed and curl up next to the person in the bed before they would die. The moment the person died, Oscar would leave the room and go back away, go out of the room. And Oscar predicted somewhere between 50 to 100 deaths in the nursing home. And these would be people that would just be laying there and they were still breathing, and he'd just crawl up against them. So when Oscar would go into the room, they would call the family and say, "You need to come in because we believe your loved one is about to pass away." And Oscar knew it. Now, they've studied cats to determine what is there about a cat that has that special sense. And it's connected to the sense of smell. I'll let you do the research. There's about five reasons that a cat is super sensitive and can sense things. And it is absolutely amazing. Now, what does that have to do with you? It has to do with what I'm about to tell you right now. And that is, we need to be sensitive to the abilities of knowing by the inner feelings of our spirit, not just our mind, but our spirit or our soul, that something is about to happen. We may not always know how to discern it, but it's about to happen. Now, Jesus knew why he came into the world, because he already predicted to his disciples, in 3 days, destroy the temple in 3 days, I'll raise it back up again. They didn't understand what he was talking about at the time. But in Matthew chapter 26 and 38, when he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." Then in Luke records something extremely interesting. It says that he was in agony, or in Greek, agonia, and his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. So there have been some medical historians that have talked about several times in history where this happens, where someone was under extreme stress, and how the capillaries expand and the blood comes forth with the sweat. So it is a medical thing that rarely happens, but has been known to happen. So what I'm trying to say this is, Jesus understood, both by the agony that he felt and by what his soul was feeling, that there was a sorrow on him, or a burden on him, or a grief on him, that he was about to die and about to pass away. So let me ask you this. Have you ever sensed that something is coming? You don't know what it is. Something is wrong. You're not sure where it's coming from or what it's about, but you can sense that danger is ahead. Now, when you start talking about sensing danger, here's what you have to be careful of. There is suspicion, and then there is discernment. All right? There is suspicion, and then there is discernment. Now, I'm going to say this. Suspicion can be founded on vain imaginations. It can be founded on conspiracy theories. And it can be founded on false information, where the person begins to build up what I call a vain imagination. A person can imagine something, and this is actually connected to cognitive disorders that some people have. But people can suspect something, but they build their suspicion so much, and then they try to build a case around their suspicion. They try to see conspiracies in all the things around them, and this is happening, and that's happening, and this is really what's going on. Then suddenly the suspicion becomes, quote, discernment. Suspicion is not discernment. And many times suspicion is usually fueled or can be fueled at times by false perception. You know, the Pharisees were convinced that Jesus was of the devil, Beelzebub, working through Beelzebub. They convinced that he was a false prophet. They tried to convince people that he was a deceiver, a liar, and a false miracle worker. So what they would do is they would try to catch Jesus saying something that they could use to authenticate their vain imagination. Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, so they caused this big issue that he cannot be of God because he heals on the Sabbath. And there was no law in Judaism at all that a person could not be healed on the Sabbath. They made up a tradition called a man-made tradition. So there are people, and I have known people, that have actual cognitive disorders. They have a disorder of filtering. They accept their own ideas, but they reject anything that has truth in it. If you begin to present truth, they cannot accept truth because it goes against their cognitive mental distortion. But on the other hand, here's what we've got to talk about. We've got to talk about discernment. Now, I've heard people say, I've got the gift of discernment. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10, it's not a gift of discernment. It's a gift of discerning of spirits, gift of discerning of spirits. Now, when you talk about someone being able to discern, it's, quote, the ability to correctly discern and properly judge a situation. There is not a gift of discernment. I hear people say that quite a bit. There is only a gift of discerning of spirits, the ability to properly discern and judge what spirit is at work. Now, when we talk about spirits, there's actually three basic types of spirit. You have the Spirit of God, you have the spirits of Satan, and you have the spirit that is within a human body. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. Let me share something with you. There are people that cannot properly detect the Holy Spirit because they have a different concept of what he is or a distortion of what the Holy Spirit is. You know, when Jesus came walking on water to his disciples that night and the glow of the moon was showing who it was, they said, it is a ghost. They said, it is a spirit. And they actually were implying it was some kind of a spirit. And there was a tradition on the Sea of Galilee in Jesus' time that if you ever saw a spirit walking on the water, it was the spirit of a dead fisherman whose boat had sunk at the Sea of Galilee, informing you that your boat was about to sink. Now, that's an interesting tradition because Peter wanted to get out of the boat and walk on water if it was Jesus, because I guess Peter assumed if Jesus can walk on water and the boat's going down, I'm going to survive by being out there where Jesus is instead of staying in the boat, because that tradition was known by all the fishermen from the Sea of Galilee back in the time of Jesus. So God's spirit, God's presence, or the Holy Spirit has to be detected and discerned. You have people that do not believe in any of the gifts of the Spirit. You believe they've all passed away. And so when a gift is operating in a full gospel church of any kind, Spirit-filled Baptist, Spirit-filled Catholics, Pentecostal Charismatic Church, there will be people that will say it's not of God because they cannot discern it is the Holy Spirit. Then there are the spirits of Satan. Now, those spirits of Satan are Ephesians 6 and 12, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in heavenly places. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, what he's saying there is that your problem may appear to be people, but it's really a demonic power many times that is motivating the person to speak or to say or to do. If you'll remember, the Apostle Peter rebuked Jesus one time, telling him that he was not going to die. And Jesus turned around and said, I quote, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, Satan had not possessed Peter. Peter was a believer. But Satan had thrown a dart. Paul would call it a fiery dart into the mind of Peter to have him say something that was not from the Lord. So there must be a discerning of the spirits of Satan. Years ago, there were several ministers that I am familiar with that the Lord gave them a very unusual gift. They could literally hold the hand of someone and could detect if they were being demonized or controlled or tormented by some type of a spirit. They would pray against that particular spirit, and the Lord would right there while they prayed deliver that person from that demonic power. Now, that's a very unusual gift, but it comes in line with the gift of discerning of spirit. So then there are spirits. Now, there is also the human spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 indicates to us that every human being is threefold. A body and a soul and a spirit. Now, you have to understand that when you're dealing with people, let's say you're about to make a business contract and your wife comes to you and she says, you know, there's something about that person I do not like, and I think you need to be careful. Pay careful attention, because the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can discern, expose the thoughts and the intents of a person's heart. And I have known of people that were about to enter into something, and the Spirit of God would warn them to be careful or to back away from it, and it would later be proven that had they got involved with that situation, it would have had a very, very negative result. Now, many times we call this a gut feeling. Men, I'm going to say this because my wife has, when we're together with the other pastors and their wives or church members on staff, sometimes the women will get to talking about this and they make a joke out of it, but really it's true. Men are a bit lacking in the area of discerning the spirits of other people. Especially, Pam's always said, especially when a female is involved in a situation. So men have to be careful because they don't lack sometimes the discernment that a female have, but women have an antenna. It's an internal antenna, and they can sense intent. And this is where the guys miss it. A lot of times the men, your wife will say, you better be careful of that one. Oh, honey, they're just that way. That's just their personality, blah, blah, blah. But the woman is able to discern the intent. My wife said, she said, you know, no one knows another woman like a woman. I told a joke years ago, and people seem to laugh when they hear this. I said, you know, if that old snake in the Garden of Eden had been a female, Eve would have known how to deal with it, because she'd have walked up and said, you sorry female, I know what you're after. You're after my man Adam, and you get off the garden and get your slimy little self out of here and wiggle out of this tree and get out of this place, because I won't have anything to do with it. And I know I say that as a joke, but that's what I'm saying about a woman having. Of course, the Bible said Eve was deceived, so maybe that wouldn't have happened. But I say that to tell you that many times a wife, your companion, might have a feeling, a gut feeling. And it's not just about that. It's about work. It's about contracts. It's about working around certain people. It's even about hiring individuals. And I personally do not hire a person. I let my wife, my staff determine who they believe need to be here. Sometimes I never even interview the person. Used to be involved years ago, but I don't do that anymore, because I trust my wife's gut feeling, her judgment, and the judgment of the people on staff. So we try to do a very heavy vetting now. We didn't used to do this. It's years ago, if we knew them, we thought, well, they must be good people, we'd hire them. But we do that. We don't do that now. We do some vetting before we ever do that. Now, the Bible says this, when you talk about that inner feeling, is that something's not right, that we call it a gut feeling. The Bible says this, the spirit of a man, and this would be a woman as well, is the candle of the Lord searching all of the inward parts of the belly. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Now, John 7, 38 through 39, Jesus was at the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, where they have a water drawing ceremony. And Jesus said, out of your belly, innermost being, that would be your spirit, shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. See, the center of my soul is my mind, my brain and my mind. The center of my body is my heart, and the center of my spirit is the belly area right here, kind of where the umbilical cord is. And if you've ever noticed, most of your emotions that you feel, you feel them in the stomach. Like if something bad happens, you get a gut. Let me say it this way. If you've ever had a car run a light and you almost hit him, you get this adrenaline rush. If you've ever had a major fear, like you're in the woods walking and suddenly you see a bear, you sense this adrenaline rush, but you also sense it right in the center of your belly. When someone dies, you feel it in your belly. When you suffer with grief, you feel it in your belly. If a child is missing all of a sudden, you feel that there's something that happens. There's a fear that comes over you. And there's a nerve called the vagus nerve, the gut nerve, and it's a nerve that forms a connection highway between the brain and the gut. And it deals with regulating digestion, organ functions. It actually can impact gut health and also the immune system. So God made your heart. And I want to say this. I'm not going to teach this today. I don't have time. But they found out your heart has a brain of its own. So you've got your five senses, you got your heart that has a heart brain, and you have your spirit that is able to detect and to discern. My dad, you know, would be in prayer and he would sense that danger is coming. And he would go into deep prayer when he felt danger was coming. And several times our lives were spared from accidents. Dad would tell me at times, I would have friends and my dad would say to me, "Now, Perry, in my spirit, I do not feel good about this person. You need to avoid that person." And I'm telling you, in every instance where Dad felt something was not right with a person, they ended up being a trap, or they ended up being negative, or they ended up later proving that they were not who they said they were. And so not everybody carries that. My dad had the great gift of discerning of spirits. In fact, I'll say this. I grew up around him. When you mention the nine gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, I watched my dad. Now, this is not one night service. This is years of ministry. Literally operate in all nine gifts of the Spirit. So when people say to me, "Those gifts have died, they're not available," I'm sorry to tell you, you're talking to the wrong person. I have seen it firsthand with my mentors and growing up as a young boy in camp meetings, conventions, general assemblies, in the denomination, etc. So here's what I want to say to you. When you begin to sense something is not right, you can just sense it. Don't blow it off. I mean, try to cancel a couple things. Find a prayer closet. And you know what that means? That's a place of prayer. And begin to pray against it. And God can prevent trouble and danger from coming your way if you'll learn to listen. Wow, I wish I had more time to share with you some interesting stories. I don't. Watch this. Don't cut it off. Watch this. Something very special is coming up. I have something very special for you that the Lord has put in my heart. It's a book, it's two audio CDs, and a bonus single CD, and it is a special family package. First is our book, The Meal That Heals, Enjoying Intimate Daily Communion with God. I'm going to show you proof that God heals today. I'm going to show you how the early church celebrated daily communion from house to house and how we can restore the practice. I'm going to show you the greatest hindrance to receiving your healing and how to remove it. I'm going to teach you the in-depth Hebrew and Greek that deals with how God can change your spirit, heal your body, and extend your days in this powerful book, The Meal That Heals. I also have a two CD album. Now, this is 2 hours of teaching on two CDs, Keys to Praying for Prodigal Children. Everybody I'm talking to right now has a child, a grandchild. Sometimes it's a husband and wife that will not attend the house of God. I have discovered spiritual and biblical keys of how to pray and what to pray for when you're believing and interceding for the salvation of a prodigal child or an unsaved, backslid family member. We prayed for my son, and after 20 years of praying for addiction to be broken, God broke it, and now he's working for the ministry, and we're so glad and happy for what God has done. I have to teach you the keys that God taught me of how to pray for your prodigal children. Now, I've also included another bonus CD, Children in the Devil's Playhouse. You know, there's Christians that allow their children to have occult games or watch occult cartoons or occult movies that open up a door to spirits in their home. I met a man one time whose son was having seizures, but I found out that he had allowed him to watch a movie about a girl being totally demon-possessed. It opened up a fear, and it literally opened up a spirit of epilepsy. The boy was prayed for and God completely delivered him. I need to teach you how the enemy is getting into your home and into your children's life through things happening inside your house. Now, this offer is offer CH-152, and I'm asking you to help us stay on manifest with a $25 gift or more, and ask for this offer, CH-152. You can go online at perrystone.org. You can call 1-888-21-BREAD, or you can send a check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer 152. We need your help to stay on the air. So God bless you. We're looking forward to hearing from you. I hope you enjoyed the telecast. Now listen to me for a moment, please. This is the last week that you'll get the very special offer. We combined this. I wanted a family offer that families could tap into to help them. The Meal That Heals deals with taking communion daily for healing. And we've had a lot of testimonies over the years where people did this and received God's touch of healing in their life. And the reason I taught this, Dr. John Miller taught me about this many years ago, but I taught it because if you read about where they went from house to house breaking bread, that does not mean they had meals. They had the Eucharist or the communion meals in the early church continually. So this deals with absolute healing, and this is a great book. You can actually teach from this book if you're a Bible teacher. Children of the Devil's Playhouse, Keys to Praying for Your Prodigal Children. I want every parent to get this. If you don't even get the packet, order this. Let me tell you why. My son was a drug addict and an alcoholic for years, and we actually prayed him, I believe, we prayed him away from death on about two occasions, and it finally broke through, and the prayers reached God, and now he is a completely changed person. And I want to teach you how to pray for your children as well. We always share with you where we're going to be coming to. Now, this may not always be the entire schedule. This is why I encourage you to go to perrystone.org, look up itinerary to see if at the last minute we've added any new places. And I really want you to drive in and join me for a service if you possibly can. Riverwalk Church, Dr. George Stevens in Sanford, Florida, January 23rd through the 25th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sanford, Florida. And I'm looking forward to that. George is a very good friend of mine, very good friend. On All Day Sunday, on February the 1st, Evangel World Prayer Center, Louisville, Kentucky, with Bob Rogers. And then I'm coming to the West Virginia Church of God Prayer Conference. My very close friend that I watched grow up, who's now a bishop for the Church of God in West Virginia, Dr. Bishop Billy Claypool. And it's going to be at the White Sulphur Springs, at the Bethesda Church, a great church. Now, if you live in West Virginia, how about driving in? I believe it's February 23rd, 24th. I think that's Monday night and Tuesday night, I believe. We can go to the itinerary and check it out. And register for Warrior Fest, okay? Get ready to bring your entire youth group. Register for the Prophetic Summit, April 22nd to the 26th. Don't forget the Israel trip and Pam's cruise in September. I'll see you next week. God bless each of you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.